Hey everyone, Bill Kenny here, CEO at Focus Lab, a global B2B brand agency, coming at you with another episode of The Debrief. As a reminder, The Debrief is a candid conversation between myself and past Focus Lab clients. The goal is to highlight their rebrand journey and kind of uncover any information that would be valuable for you, the viewer, the listener, that might consider going through a rebrand yourself. So in today's episode, I'm speaking with Megan Healy. She's the VP of Marketing at Dig Insights. We had the pleasure of working with Dig about 2 years ago. Now their brand has been live. And we talk about what was the most challenging from her perspective, what was the most rewarding. And at the end, we uncover basically her biggest tip to anyone that would be considering a rebrand. I hope you enjoy. All right. New episode. Megan, great to meet you. This is actually the first time I've met you, which is not atypical.
I know, kind of shocking.
For these episodes. It happens that way now that I'm not in the work, in the day-to-day necessarily. I don't get to meet all of our awesome clients, but I do get to meet them in this series that we run called The Debrief and relive the project. So I'm happy to be here with you. So I'm going to pass the mic to you first. Just have you introduce yourself and tell us what you do at Dig.
Yeah, for sure. Super excited to be here. So thank you, Bill. I am the VP Marketing and Comms. I'm going to use less marketing weird acronyms. I'm the VP of Marketing and Communications at Dig Insights and Upside. We are a tech-enabled sort of insight strategy consultancy at Dig, and Upside is our technology arm. So it's a SaaS platform, and we're all centered around innovation research. Well, and a lot of the work we did with Focus Lab actually helped us determine that that was the niche that we wanted to go after, but I'm sure we'll get to that in a second.
Yes. I'm glad you hinted at that. And I really look forward to talking about that. So just a quick fact, I always like to look back at the dates. So I was doing some digging this week and you came through our contact form April 7th of 21. That's like sounds literally right. The day this journey began. So it's almost 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
Does it feel like 20 years ago or like 6 months?
No, it feels like 6 months ago. I mean, yeah, I feel like that was so interesting because honestly, it is really challenging to figure out who to work with. Like, especially when, so for us, the ask was we need to rebrand two brands because Dig and Upside have individual identities, but we also need those brands to speak to each other. We need them to have a connection. And that was, I was like, what? I've never done that before. That's difficult. So yeah, there was so much sort of background work that we needed to do on it. So we didn't just need a slick sort of strategy agency. We didn't just need like a slick design agency. We kind of needed someone who, like a true partner to figure it out with. I remember being frantic, just like putting my email into every contact form. Like someone was like, we recommend this agency. And I was like, sick, I'm reaching out immediately.
How did you find us then? That's actually not one of the lined up questions, but I'm just curious. Like how did we show up?
And probably this is usually the way that you find all of the best partners is it was a recommendation, like a referral. We had, so the partner that we worked with to do our web development, the website development, Craft and Crew, they had heard of you guys or had worked with you guys. Their founder, one of their partners were like, hey, you should check out Focus Lab. They are really good at B2B technology rebrands. And I was like, well, yeah, that sounds exactly what we need. So, yeah.
I forgot there was the Craft and Crew connection. Because we are so close with them, I often forget which way the track is going. I don't know if it was
of course
us that told you to go to them to tell you to come to us, but that's great to hear. Yeah, we love the Craft and Crew team. They are like-minded and structured very similarly to Focus Lab in a lot of ways. So awesome, cool. So backing up a little bit, this first question is, how did you know that it was time to rebrand? What was the impetus that you were like, oh my god, we need to engage on this?
So I had joined the company in January of 2021, and a rebrand, or I think they like to say a refresh of the brands, was sort of already on the radar. There really hadn't been, we had no brand guidelines. There was no sort of like rule book as to, you know, what the art direction was for both brands, you know, what the, even how the logo should be presented together. Dig as a company has been around for, I guess it's now 12 or 13 years. Like this amazing roster of really cool clients that come back time and time again. You know, we've really fostered this like amazing company culture, but none of that was sort of shining through on the brand side. Like we just didn't have the ability, because we didn't have any guidelines or any rule book, we didn't really have the ability to sort of get creative in any way, or, you know, look like ourselves almost, I want to say, because when you don't have any constraints, it's very difficult to figure out like what looks, what's right and what's wrong.
Yes.
And then I already alluded to it, but I think the big thing also was, you know, Dig has been around for more than a decade, Upside just a couple of years, and the two are really connected. I mean, Upside is sort of a DIY software play to do innovation research. Dig, much more sort of custom research, but it's all focused around, you know, the innovation lifecycle and moving people from understanding their audience all the way to sort of tracking how things are performing. But the two identities didn't remotely look like one another. So no one had any idea like, oh, Upside is a part of Dig, or, you know, Dig is related to Upside. So that made our job as marketers a little bit more challenging. So that was a big ask for me, is like, how can we make sure, while we do want them to have their own, you know, websites, and we want them to sort of be able to live on their own, how do we make sure that they actually connect to each other?
Yeah. So you fall into a similar bucket to a lot of our clients, quite honestly, which is our product is great. Our internal culture is great. We have a clear vision of what we're trying to do, but man, our brand does not express that. Totally. You know, you almost feel like it's not expressing us in the right way. It's not doing its job. And on top of that, you know, if there's additional products and how you build it, that into the brand architecture, et cetera.
And I mean, the other thing to note is like, we were growing like gangbusters. Like, I think in 2021, I think we onboarded like 80 new people or something. Like, it was wild. So we're now, just for scale or to understand what that means, we're like just over 200 people now, but we were significantly smaller just as I was joining, and things really grew so rapidly. So I'm sure if you ask the same question to my founders, they would say we were really interested in making sure that we were attracting great talent as well. Yes. Right. Like, I think they would say that as well. So that's also another thing to know. I'm sure on their end, that was a big push.
That's important for the listeners and viewers to understand. It doesn't have to be a single reason that there's a rebrand, right? Rebrand is so all encompassing and will affect so many things that it can be kind of multifaceted, the reasons why. So the next question, and you kind of answered it maybe indirectly, but what were you looking for in a partner? So you said, wow, that was going to be really frantic trying to find somebody, trying to find the right partner. So what were you looking for specifically in that partner?
I mean, Will sells the company so well. So I feel like a lot of the times I probably reached out to like 10 different partners. To be honest, if I could go back in time, hindsight's 2020, I would not have done that. I think I wanted some background on me. I knew a lot of, I'd done rebrand work, but I'd lived in the UK for 8 years. So I didn't really have any sort of like trusted partners here that I was like, I feel really comfortable reaching out to them. I know that they do good work. I kind of felt like I was starting from a blank slate. So honestly, the first reason I knew I wanted to work with Focus Lab was because I jumped on a call with Will, who really knew what he was talking about. Like, a lot of agencies kind of put quite junior employees at the front of, or kind of receiving those like contact us forms. So I was asking questions and a lot of people didn't have the answers to what I was asking. Like, you know, what does your process look like? How does that differ from other agencies? How long is this going to take? Just ballpark, like things mm-hmm. like that, where I didn't feel like I was getting the right answers. But also Will's just, he's a delight to chat to. Like it was really easy to get a sense of kind of the company culture. And then mm-hmm. the more people I met, the more people that kind of shone through, like the different strategists we got introduced to, and our account manager was amazing. But other than Will's sparkling personality, I think the reason I decided I wanted to work with Focus Lab was like three sort of things. Like, you know, I'm making light of the fact that it was great to meet Will, but I think that the chemistry was there from the get-go, just in terms of I felt like I could be really honest and they felt like they could be really honest. You know, Will obviously wasn't, the, you know, we worked with a team of designers and copywriters and account managers, but I remember being able to very candidly say, like, I don't think that's it. And they were, there was no defensiveness. There was no like, what? This is our life's work. They were just like, cool. Okay. Yeah. That's really helpful. That's great info. Thank you. Let's come back to this. Like, let's come back to you with something else. So I loved that. The chemistry was really great even from the beginning. And so I got a sense that that was what it was going to be like. Honestly, I just, they're such a smart group of people, or talented, I guess. Like just they approach design very, like in a smart way, approach copy in such a smart way, super detail oriented. And I could kind of sense that from just meeting a few people in that initial mm-hmm. sort of new business process. And then finally, like the biggest thing for me, the big aha moment was your process. Because it actually made sense. Like I talked to so many people that were like, this is going to take 18 weeks and the first 3 weeks are discovery. And then the next, I'm so bad at math. Then the next 15 weeks are like us designing shit and like figuring out what makes sense. And it's like, yeah, but like, why are we not doing more discovery? Why are we not figuring out like the whole point of this rebrand is figuring out how the brands need mm-hmm. to connect to each other, how we make sure the company culture comes to life. And the way that you guys, I'm not going to go into detail because I'll probably butcher it, but the way that you guys approach your sort of rebrands, I think was really systematic, made a ton of sense, just like logically. And yeah, that was the real thing where it was like, okay, we have to go with these guys. So.
Yes. Shout out to Will. Shout out to Will.
Well done, Will.
We hear similar things. And I'll just highlight them again for the viewers and listeners so it really sinks in. Trust your gut. Find an agency that you feel like does good work. Yes, that's kind of like the one of the easier checkboxes, quite honestly. The next one is find the right people. Find that cultural match.
Yeah.
And make sure you feel like you can actually go through this type of a journey, which is long and arduous, with that group of people. That's a huge reason or a huge point to consider when you're looking for an agency. And then find a process that works for you. We preach that all the time. We try to make our process as practical and logical, to use your words, as possible. Doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it can be straightforward and what happens week to week and why we're doing certain things.
Yeah, I mean, like the process of rebranding is already complicated. You don't really need a complicated right. process. Like, I mean, we were laughing hysterically. So my boss still to this day, like this is what, like a year and a half ago, still to this day makes fun of me because on an internal meeting, I literally said, I'm having an aha moment about this cream color. And he was like, how have we like gotten to a point where we're talking about cream colors and like aha moments and like, like, because you get so nerdy about all the little details. It's so complicated to make all these tiny decisions. So to have a clear process is great.
It's nerve-wracking trying to find the right group. And even when you find the right group, it's hella nerve-wracking to go through the whole process as you're trying. Is cream the right color? Should it be a stark white? Should it be an off-white? Should it be a pure black? Or should it be kind of like a softer black? And it's like, am I way in my head? I don't know. I think it's really important. And you go through this whole thing. And thankfully, and hopefully, we're there to support in that decision-making process, right?
And it's not even that. It's like you're also actively as interested in as I am. Like, I remember having serious conversations with Chase of like, is this the right cream? And he's like, I don't know. I am also struggling with the cream. Like, serious conversation. And that's nice to feel like you have people who care as much. I mean, when I was doing sort of internal rollouts of the brand, I wasn't like, and we really went back and forth on this cream color. You know, they don't really care. But it was good to have a team who also cared.
Well, great. I'm happy we lived up to what your expectations were when you found us. So then we get into the project. So I've got two questions that are in project questions. It's really important for people to hear what was the most challenging aspect of the rebrand. So when they're going into their own rebrand with us or anybody else, they know kind of what they're up against from a challenge perspective.
Yeah. So I think like for me, and I was reflecting on this before this call, I think I'm a huge nerd. Like this is the second rebrand I did and I love the process. Like I find it super creatively stimulating. I think that the thing about going from concept, so this like initial idea of what we want the brand to stand for and what that sort of narrative lens is that we're looking at the brand through, which is part of your process, that was so exciting. And we really landed on this like, so we landed on this idea of Dig being this sort of wise brand. And we came up with, not we, the team came up with all of these associations and like typefaces and different ways we could approach the art direction, almost like a really detailed mood board. And mm-hmm. we got so excited. And I think that inevitably your brain starts to kind of go in one direction. And then when the execution part happens, you almost have this like weird sort of, is this right? It's almost like a crisis of confidence because you start to think mm-hmm. like what you were imagining in your head as the creative concept or the art direction or whatever it is, you start to be like, oh my God, in execution, like you just almost stop trusting your gut a little bit because mm-hmm. things start to move really quickly and the execution keeps happening. And for me, it was, not to be like, woe is me, but it was doubly difficult because I kept thinking, is this going to work with Upside? The other brand that we hadn't actually dug into in as much detail yet. So I think that was really challenging for me. It was like just figuring out execution wise, is this going to stand up to the amazing ideas that Focus Lab had come up with or that the team had come up with? And, you know, not bearing the lead here, they absolutely did. I think it's just, you're in the middle of this process. You're pretty exhausted. Trying to figure out like, okay, is this all going to come together? Is this all going to come together? And it does in the end. And like the team itself gets you there, I think, like your team, because they have so much trust. They've seen this happen a million times. So they're like,
yes,
yeah, we get it. Like, we know what you're going through. It's going to be fine. Trust me. But yeah, that was
easier said than done. Right.
Yeah. Especially when you're the one who like put your neck out on the line and was like, we need to go with these people. And you're like, okay, but is it going to be okay?
Yes. I know there's a lot of trust in that moment, in all of those moments. And you're right to call out that it is part of our job and potentially a very big part of our job to help our clients navigate that.
Yeah.
Right. It is more than colors and typography and words and all that. There has to be this. I know this is scary for you. I know you're going to second guess things. Let us help you through that mental process as well.
Yeah. I mean, some of the most raw emotional conversations I had over the course of that year were like me and Therese on Wednesday mornings, just being like, oh my God. And she's like, everything's going to be okay. And I was like, I just had this annoying conversation with my boss, or like I had this conversation because people in your organization are like, what's happening with the rebrand? And I'm like, it takes a long time, right? To get it right.
Yes. Yes. Because you have to be able to go through that mental process.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It takes time to even like get through that part mentally. You can't just be like, oh, I love it, or oh, I hate it, oh, we're done. It's like, no, we gotta we got to climb this damn mountain. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. But yeah, no, props to her, because she was like, you okay? You're going to make it through? But yeah, we did. We got there. I did have one more thing, actually, but we don't really need to get too into the weeds on it. But I think one of the challenging parts, and everyone says this, is just rolling the brand out or rolling the brands out. You guys did a really good job of, so Will actually did a presentation for us where he like talked about best practices around the rollout, which I think was really helpful. But inevitably it's going to be hard. And I think for anyone listening who's in my shoes, I find it difficult to figure out what level of detail people want to see, I think is the hard part. And I think the thing that Will did really well was he described, or he explained that you need to sort of lead with the story as opposed to leading with like the new visual brands or the new comms guidelines or whatever. So we actually had a much easier time because of that document. Like we kind of followed it religiously because we were new to how we should roll this out. And yeah, I think leading with the story is really helpful, but yeah, it's always going to be hard and figuring out who to do it first with, how to do it internally. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Am I nailing the story? Who's going to present it? Do I even have the charisma to present this thing? Am I even the right person?
Should it be the founder?
Yes. There's a lot of decisions happen in there.
Yes.
But if those things are at least considered, it will be successful in its own right. It's only when they are not considered. It is only when, you know, going back to the, here's a new logo. Why do we need a new logo? I don't know. We just needed something, you know, that's where a rollout actually fails. I'm going to go off script here a little bit because there's another thing I just considered. Did you find it challenging to work with two partners? So you worked with us on brand, you worked with Craft and Crew on web. And I'll set you up a little bit. We hear both sides of it, right? Some people are very open and even they're for that idea because they want to hire the expert for this and the expert for that. And some people, which seems to be a smaller group these days, shy away from that, right? They want a single company to do all the things. So can you speak to your experience?
Yeah, I'm definitely the camp number one. So I wanted to work with experts in brand and like experts in website development. That's how I wanted to work. And obviously Craft and Crew, I really loved that they were like, no, we don't do rebrand. Like we did do that in the past. We don't do it now. Here's a great company who can help you do it. And then come back to us when, you know, we are ready for that. I think that you guys did make it easier. I mean, I have never had to do the last rebrand I worked on at a previous company. We had sort of a website team internally, so I hadn't had to work with an external partner for that part of it. But you guys did a really good job sort of briefing Craft and Crew for me, which was nice.
Yeah.
Like I was involved in it, but it was kind of like, okay, here's the beginnings of the guidelines and art direction for like Dig, and here's the beginnings for Upside. And, you know, Cherise essentially worked with the project manager on their end to like create this very complicated, like matrixed diagram of like, okay, this is when you start this, and or this is when we start this, and this is when you can start this. So that saved me a lot of time, which to be honest, for me was a blessing because I did have a lot of pressure coming from senior leadership being like, we want this out now. Like we want the websites now. So that was great. But yeah, did I find it challenging? For sure. I think honestly, it was more the little things. Like we got pretty attached to your process you use, I don't know if you still use it, but you used Basecamp when we were there. Kind of like run the process, and we got a video every Friday, and every Monday we feedback on it. And like, there was a rhythm to it, and there were some amazing things about working with Craft and Crew, but that they didn't have the same process, right? Like it was a bit different. The
rhythm changed. Yeah.
The rhythm changed. And I think that was challenging. And I was like, would you guys consider using Basecamp? You're like, like just for you? Or like, you want us to change our whole process? But yeah, no, it was, it was the little things, but they did a fantastic job. So yeah, it was challenging, but would I rather deal with like the admin of it to get really good outputs? Yeah. Like I think it was worth it.
Yeah, I think that's well said, as opposed to single partner that does it all, but the quality, like, you know, you give up some of the admin responsibilities and the logistics in between, which hopefully you have two parties like ours, which are so closely knit anyways, that they bridge some of that, like you spoke to, the admin kind of responsibilities and how they communicate. But you don't want to sacrifice quality.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to go through this whole long process and spend all that money and give up quality just because of what might be logistically harder. So let's get to the feels, the good feels. What was the most rewarding aspect of the project?
Oh man, there are so many rewarding things. Honestly, like learning from your team was really rewarding personally. Like for me, I found it very rewarding. Like that was probably, I was so excited to get up every day and come like sit down at my desk to like work on stuff with them. And, you know, I was making fun of this whole interview is going to be about the color cream, but like, I loved having those conversations with the team. And I don't know if it's typical for you guys, but I was on the phone with Charisse or with Haley or with Chase, like all the time, just like chatting about stuff. And that was great. I think the other part was just, I mean, and guess, yeah, I'm talking about it more from my perspective, but being able to show off these brands internally to my company was very rewarding as well. I mean, I just don't think that they thought this is the first rebrand they'd ever done. So I think, being able to show the founders, like, this is the power of like really good design and like really well thought out communications guidelines. And like a really clear story. I think they were kind of blown away by it. So not only did it make me look good, but it was like a really fun process and I learned a ton. So yeah, I'd say those are probably the most rewarding parts.
Great. Awesome to hear. I as you were giving your second answer, which was rolling it out, it made me consider the fact that nearly everybody says that. So much so that I could almost like ask you the question and then say, I've already written down your answer on a card and I'm going to show it to you after you tell me, and then, you know, do that whole magic trick.
Totally unoriginal. Totally unoriginal.
No. The value of your answer is really the consistency of how many people say that, and the people that can watch this will know, okay, maybe that's going to be the same for them, and they kind of know where they'll fall on that spectrum. I'm glad it was personally rewarding for you as well. We work really hard on our process, and we've talked a lot about that here. I would think that that is something that differentiates us.
For sure.
Which is how much we care about process as a creative company. I think it's easy to get lost in creative, right? Into kind of sidestep process here and there. Quite honestly, if it were only me and I was a one-man shop, I probably would have sidestepped process a lot more. But I can't do that because I have a very process-driven team and I'm a very trusting leader of my team. So even in the early years, when we were 5 people, 7 people, and they're like, we got to have a better process for this. We got to have a better. And I'm like, I think we're over-engineering right now, but I'll get out of the way. Now it's very clear how all those things have connected and built this really amazing process that we have now.
Well, and I think like the, just riffing on that, like the intangible aspect of it, which I've reflected on after the fact, but when you have process set up like that, and like my RPM was so good at being like, we don't do things that way. Like not in like a scary way, but more just like, we do it this way for this reason, we need feedback by this time. We need to do, there's an element of like, you know, that core thing you said of how it's so difficult to trust in the process. The fact that you have such a diligent, detailed process makes me trust you more, right? So there is an element of like, it's helpful to have that process from a sales perspective for you guys too, because it does
100%
trust that you know what you're doing.
I think it's one of the bigger reasons most people say, even in that early, like, you know, they've just selected us and maybe we're going to ask like, oh, why'd you pick us? We can't wait to start your process. I could see myself going through this thing where maybe in other calls, it's too vague. I don't know. Like, I need a lot of trust, and the process builds trust right from the start. It gives us all like a map, and we're just going to stay on the damn map, even when it's hard. So that's most rewarding. So let's go to post project. And I'm very interested to hear this because it's been 2 years now. So there's some timeline behind us that could be helpful in this question, which is, what has this new brand allowed you to do that you could not do before?
Well, I think that we haven't talked so much about it. Like, I think I've been focusing a lot on the visual stuff, but we had to do a lot of work up front on like the brand hierarchies, and we had to do a lot of work on like value prop, mission, vision, you know, what does all of this mean? Who are we? So there's like this element of it, just, we just tightened everything up from like a strategy perspective before we even went into, and that was part of your guys' process, right? But like before we even went into exploring the visual rebrand, we really got a sense of who the brands are. So what has that allowed us to do? I mean, like, it allowed us to actually write copy for the website that we understood, like we knew how to structure the website. We were like, woo, like we know what needs to be on the homepage, and sorry, two websites. So we understood what we needed to do there. So that was huge. And then I guess I would say from a design perspective, we had a designer, Alina, on our, well, we have a designer, Alina, on our team, who basically worked super tightly with your designers and figured out, you know, what the gold standard was. But then she's, because she was a part of that process, she can now take a lot of risks because she knows where the goalposts are. Like, she's now like, oh, okay. Like, she, like, it's almost like we have this weird like mantra. It's like, what would Chase do? Like, if Chase would Chase be okay with this? You know, like we can get a sense of, for both brands, like, okay, is this line work the same as what he would recommend? Or like, oh, I remember he said the pattern shouldn't look like this, and that makes sense. But like, what if we played around with it in this way? So I think taking risks has been such a like beautiful sort of output from this. Obviously we look amazing now, which is great. And it's allowed us to act a little bit more like a challenger in our market, which is cool. Have a little bit more swagger. So
I'm really happy with where you took that. And I was even looking at this morning. I literally shared this in our design Slack channel this morning. I saw the screenshot that said something to the effect of brand guidelines are not for restriction. They're for inspiration.
Yeah.
And you're kind of speaking to that point now, right? Like there is going to be future new visuals that you all have to build that are not tightly defined in a little thing. And you're like, okay, I just do this and I just put it here. Like the brand has to grow and evolve and stretch. And I'm happy to hear that y'all are taking risks and you feel comfortable taking those risks. That's kind of like the perfect spot to be in.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, like I had a big, not big internal debate, but I had an internal debate with my boss about like, do we need a designer before we do the rebrand? Like, do we need to bring on an internal design resource? Isn't that the point of the rebrand, is that we're like working with designers? I would always recommend you bring in a design resource because they can work with Focus Lab. Like, I think that's even one of the questions that you guys ask. Like, she made that so much. Alina is a sort of rock star on my team, but she made that process so much easier for me because sometimes people are talking to you on your end and they're like Chase would say something and I'm like, I don't really know. Like, I'm not a designer. Like, that sounds nice. Like, but like, I don't really know. And Alina would be like, oh, right. Okay. So totally hear you. We need to do X, Y, Z when we're actually executing this market or whatever. So always bring in a smart designer who can actually translate some of that stuff. I would highly recommend it, but that's my two cents.
I think that's a fantastic point that has not been said, ever. I think people should people should really take that to heart. Again, going back to you're going to take the time and make this investment. Do what you can to surround it with the possibility of being really successful.
Yeah.
Not just, okay, adding a designer to the mix on your side definitely is going to enhance that opportunity for this to be really successful. I was actually looking back through the Basecamp thread this morning, kind of checking out all the messages and stuff. And now to your point, I was able to see how much Alina, is that her name? Am I saying it right? Her and Chase were going back and forth, even right at the end on the hex code color that was not reading correctly in her Photoshop file. It was ever so slightly off.
And how and would both I of have them were
going
that?
Back and forth. You would have never.
I would never
you
have.
You literally would have never have known that. Would it have meant that the rebrand would have failed? No. But there would have been slightly different versions of that green showing up. And somebody at some point would have been like, why is this happening? And where did we go wrong? And oh shit, it's been 2 years and we have so much to update. Yes. Yeah. So that was happening right in that moment. I saw that this morning. So I'm helping to prove your point.
Oh yeah. No, that's so, that was so useful to have. So anyone else listening, definitely consider it.
We'll kind of speak to the ROI again, really quickly, which is there any other additional ROI? I think you hinted early at helping with hiring, right? Putting the brand in a position where it feels like a company people want to join. It's clear what the company stands for and where it's going, those types of things. Is that true? Am I speaking for you?
No, I mean, you are, but you're speaking the truth. That's true. All of that is true. Internal alignment, I think, was probably the best part of the rebrand, which isn't very sexy, but it is really nice. Like everyone's kind of like everyone's like understands what our positioning is and understands, you know, what our brand stands for. Everyone's really excited. I think that was amazing. And I mean, just like the quality of our outputs from a design perspective have been it's night and day. It's just amazing what we've been able to do because of those guidelines and because of the new brands. I think with the comms guidelines, we're in love with them, but we are still trying to figure out how to make the most of them. And I think that's probably a struggle that most people have when you don't have like a ginormous team. And we have the complexity of two brands.
Yes.
And like I'm a master editor across, but like there's just a lot of things there where we're trying to figure it out. So the ROI on that, I think we'll see in the next few years as we build out the team.
Writers definitely. Specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like dedicated kind of going back to the brand writers. Point,
right. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So you said one point that I want to touch on, which I think is really important, internal alignment. And then you said the point, it's not sexy. Correct. It is not sexy.
No.
But let's also recognize that the foundation of a house is not sexy. It's the cinder block concrete pour that nobody gives a crap about, and they pour dirt around it and try to finish their basement and hide it all. But without that foundation, that house literally starts to like fall over, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's tilting and doing strange things. So I just wanted to highlight that again, because I think what you called out is a really important fact, and I didn't want people to gloss over it because it is not sexy. It's easy to fall into the trap of rebrands our design and words and we look great now. That internal alignment, you get everybody rowing in the same direction. What's the impact of that?
Yeah.
I would argue that it's greater than the actual visual outputs, because those can change over time, right?
So true. I mean, for anyone, just to save everyone else the like 15 new business meetings I took with new agencies, like anyone looking for a rebrand, you don't have to do that, because I'll tell you, like if there is not a thing, I mean, obviously every brand is different, every company is different, but if there's not a part of the process that they walk you through where you align on like what the brands stand for, then you probably shouldn't work with that partner. Because if you don't do that, what is the brand even based on? Like, what is the rebrand even based on? Like, I talked to a bunch of people who are like, so we'll, you know, we want to save you guys time and money, so we're going to launch right into the, you know, mood boarding. It's like, what are we mood boarding? I don't even like, what are you just looking around the internet and finding some like cool stuff? Like, I don't understand. And I think that part is so, that is definitely for me the most valuable part of the whole process.
You probably just answered the final question. You literally just answered it, which is, if you could tell anybody considering a rebrand, what they should most, like what's most important that they should consider in that rebrand effort. But I'll let you add to that if you have an additional answer. What would you tell you? You're sitting down with a peer or somebody and you're like, oh, you're going to go through a rebrand? Make sure you do X or do not do X.
I'd probably say something like really annoying, like make sure you work with the right partner at the beginning. But I guess, I would say make sure like the chemistry thing, like the chemistry thing I think was really important. Like I just knew when I talked to a few people on your side as compared with other people I was talking to, like I knew that like we would get the job done. So I guess that like gut feel. And then, yeah, I do think probably a more useful, you know, thing to tell people is definitely make sure that there is some element of strategy at the beginning, because the brand outputs are not like the design outputs, the comms got like none of that stuff is really going to relate to anything if you're just skipping the work at the beginning, which is annoying because you have to really lead it on your end. But I do think that, that part is so key in getting everyone aligned, and then the rebrand will be even better.
That's that early therapy where we sit down and we ask you a million questions.
Oh God, yeah, that was a lot of questions.
Do you want to be this? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? Did I hear this right? So that we can understand what we're doing.
I hear this right? Yeah. Bringing back memories.
Thank you so much, first of all, for sharing all that. Second of all, for reaching out in the first place. I hope I lived up to the cultural magic that you've expressed about the rest of our team in this meeting, having now met you for the first time. We look forward to following Dig and Upside and seeing how y'all progress, and you as well. I mean, side note, I told a few of the team members, I don't remember who specifically, hey, I want to be in speaking with Megan. We're going to be doing deeper. And everybody's like, oh my God, she's the best. You're going to love speaking with her, Bill. So the feeling is mutual.
Oh, I might add. That's so cute. That's so cute. Please tell them I say hi. I absolutely love working with your team.
Thanks again.
Bye.